Okay, Shalom Raboisai. Chavis Halvavis, Shal Yichud HaMaisa, in the paragraph that starts, Achim Tira LeKabel Al Atzmecha. Chavis Halvavis is telling us, on the one hand, our role is to walk along the beaten path. We have a very, very great history behind us of people much greater than ourselves, paving the path, the ultimate optimal path to walk along in order to achieve the most in Yiddishkeit. Don't succumb to the Yetzer Hara of second guessing, of backing up, going back to the sources and setting it up yourself. Isn't it a shame to put in, I just know sometimes my feeling is like sometimes there's some kind of minig or something that I don't understand what the source for it is. Everybody does it, but I can't find the basis, etc. You know what? My attitude often is, you know what? There have actually been instances in my life of things that I hadn't known and then learned afterwards. Such things have happened, as shocking as it may seem. It would be chaval to decide, so I'm going to disregard this, and then 22 years later, then discover the source and realize that this was something chashu, right? Now again, if you can determine that something has no basis, fine. But again, the idea is not to have the yetzer hara of having to be original, of to understand that our greatness really lies in our ability to live up to the Yiddishkeit that was laid down before us. And very often, the need to be original, the need to go reinvent the wheel, is really an escape from the good, hardcore, solid avoda. It's a very, very rich, well-developed Yiddishkeit that's been a magnificent Yiddishkeit that's been laid, that's been passed down to us through Chazal, through the Rishonim, through the Achronim, having gone through the a processing of those who came before us from the Gra, Terub Chaim Velozhin, Bisrael Salanter, etc., Chafetz Chaim, Chazanish, the Briskerov, until it got to us, we're walking a very, very well developed path. Now, does this mean that, and here's going to start developing the other side of the coin, does this mean that therefore you say, okay, exactly what it says in Halacha, I do, and there is no room for anything individual? So here we say, no, a person's own avoda may take him to certain places. Again, not when it's conflicting with the way things were done. And this we stressed a few times. There's a lot of room, lemaisa, at the end of the day, for you as an individual to find your niches in avodas Hashem, and things you'll find yourself taken in certain directions by applying yourself to the well-being path. You don't have to back up. You don't have to reopen things in order to get there. So here he says, Achim tira likabel al atzmecha mitoisefes harishus b'mitzvahs. If you decide that there are extra things you want to practice, etc., you feel that, now let's say, for example, you want to come, if you're going to take what we were just discussing to an absolute extreme, you say, 1 minute, let's say I want to come 15 minutes before davening just to sit and be misboinin a little. 1 minute, if that was really appropriate, it would be an halacha. Oh, sorry, it isn't halacha. But but you get the idea, right? You get the idea. Is there room for doing more because of your sense of dedication? So he says, yes. If you can take on added anhagas, if you can take, do things because this is where your heart takes you, after you are solidly adhering to the basic package of chayvos, chayvos secha, right? Le'avas chesed, because you feel you want to go an extra mile in terms of your dedication. Chesed here means dedication. You know, the word chesed, we generally translate it as kindness. Chesed really means dedication. It means going beyond. you might even call it extreme. That really, if you really want the more puristic meaning of the word chesed, it's extreme. Why? You just, for example, there are arayas that are called chesed, right? Why are they called chesed? Because it's extreme perversion. It means going extremely off the path in a warped, unclean direction, right? Chesed is going off the middle path to a certain extreme. Why? Because every chesed that you do is something you don't have to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be chesed. It would be a chayv, right? Paying back a debt is not chesed. A chesed is something you don't have to do. And that's why it's a certain extreme. That's also why chasidus, going the Lifnei Mishurat HaDin, is called chasidus. It is, we would translate that as dedication, because dedication is, again, going to a certain extreme beyond the letter of the law. That's the term chesed. So Avas Chesed, he says, if you want to take on some extra anhaga because of your love of chesed, which means your sense of dedication, and you want to go all the way for Hashem, after this is what your seichel determined is a good thing for you, and it's not coming from a place of taiva, yeah, taiv, then that's wonderful. Certainly, you should live that way of doing extras. You'll certainly be rewarded for that, and that's not called conflicting with those who came before you. Find your own personal areas of dedication, right? The Chachamim already said, make a siyag. This is one example of going lifnei mishurat hadin. Chachamim said, make certain gedarim so that you shouldn't come to transgress in issur d'oraisa, right? That doesn't mean you can't add your own. If you sense that you're having difficulty with a certain area, right? And you therefore want to make a certain gedar, so I'm going to come and tell you, 1 minute, don't make gedarim that Chazal didn't make. No, Chazal made gedarim that they said, this is something that all Klal Yisrael can handle, and this is something that's appropriate for everybody to keep. There might be other things that are actually commendable, but Chazal, they were very, very careful in imposing their siyagim. Is this something that the whole tzibur will be able to keep forever? That's why, in general, and sometimes in Shira, people ask, why didn't Chazal prohibit this, this, and that? You can never ask why Chazal didn't prohibit. You can only ask why they did. Whenever they didn't prohibit, if you understand how much discretion they put into considering, whenever they imposed an Isser, that meant that this is going to be Isser for all of Klal Yisrael forever. They did that with a lot of discretion. And there were a lot of things that might have been Kedai to Isser, but Chazal felt this is not something we can impose on all of Klal Yisrael forever. Just one example that's coming relevant soon. Tosefes Shviyos, Chachamim tell us that this was initially imposed by Shammai and Hillel, Midaraisa, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tosefes Shviyos from 30 days before Shemitah. Shammai and Hillel imposed Tosefes Shviyos from Pesach for grain fields and from Shavuos for tree orchards. Right? And the Gemara notes that we don't observe this today. It's a whole shakl of time in the Gemara, but the Gemara says that Shammai and Hillel, in the first place, they set up such that if a later generation wants to come and be Mevato, they can come and be Mevato. Why should they set it up that way? It's the same point that we're saying. That's what Rashi there says. They realize that this is something that there may be points in history will be too difficult to keep. Right? When they imposed something, they took into account, how is this going to work for the next 1,000 years? And therefore, there may have been things that they decided not to impose because now it'll work, maybe it'll work for a few generations. There might be circumstances where we can't expect everybody to keep this. But once again, for the individual to say, I want to make this gather for myself, then yes. Someone asked me, is there actually a halachic, in all the talk about having to when it comes to the internet, having to have filters, et cetera, is there a real obligation to it? So you see, that the Torah expects you not to leave yourself in a situation where you are very vulnerable to sin. If you know of such a situation, and you're coming here in Oibur Chacham and you say, well, Chazal didn't answer it. There's nothing in Halacha prohibiting this. That's not acceptable, right? We see that Chatera and Chazal do want you to be attuned to where am I vulnerable?
I have two ways to go. You know, don't go the way like.
Oh, it's exactly that Gemara. That's right. It's exactly that Gemara. That's right. That's right. It's exactly that Gemara. It's an isra to go in a place where you know you're going to have an Islayan. It might not be exactly that Gemara because that Gemara is talking about Beleke Daka Achina when you don't have a different root. Oh, so you have a different root again. Oh, okay. I'm saying even if someone want to argue, maybe it's not called a different root. I have to pay money for it, etc. It inhibits me. But when you have a situation where you are can be fairly when the sin is very, very likely, and it's mistaba, you have to go even further than that Gemara and do it even when it isn't a Daka Achina. But you're right. It probably is called Daka Achina. You're right. Right? Right? Okay. So therefore, he's saying, yes, you are encouraged to make personal siyagim. You also see that a person who takes the approach of, I don't do anything beyond the letter of the law. Says Yerushalayim, that was one of the reasons that Yerushalayim was destroyed. They weren't willing to go beyond the letter of the law. Yes, you want to take an attitude of, I want to go all out for Hashem. And that may manifest in different personal ways. Again, once you are on the disciplined road of the beaten path of Yiddishkeit, then yes, there is room for letting your own personal circumstances and reality take you to different places.
Some of the attitudes of Nazir is that he shouldn't have been doing some of the things he did. That's why he came so high.
Oh.
That seems to...
Oh. So we find Chazals very much extolling the Nazir, and we find Chazals condemning the Nazir, and it gets very ambiguous. So the truth is, Adarabba, this is bringing out the delicateness of this whole sugya. I'll tell you something that, and the truth is, it's also bringing out that it could be very individual. When my father was having surgery at one point. He was having a bypass surgery. And we all were there the night before. And somebody asked, we're talking about davening and this and that. Somebody asked my father, what Kabbalists should we take on as a schus for you? So he said, I want the schus of no Kabbalists being violated. And therefore, take on nothing as a schus for me. Okay? So, that if you know him, that's Mamish, his way of thinking, right? But I actually heard from Hav Davidovich recently, very, very profound point. He said, he put it this way. It says, a person who makes a neder, it's as though he built a bama. Which is kind of implying that you're taking the avera a step further by being mekayim the neder. What does that mean? You're supposed to be mefer the neder. You're supposed to be matir the neder. So again, this is providing one specific angle. So Rav Davidovich said something very, very real, like painfully real. He said like this. He says, sometimes a person makes a neder. Why do you make the neder? Because a person feels like he's holding in a high place. I would like this to remain who I am, but I'm scared that in a couple of weeks from now, the inspiration is going to wear off. So I'm making a nether to hold myself in that high place. Okay? And then he said, you reach the point where you realize that I can't. Yeah, that was a moment of inspiration, but it's actually not who I am. And therefore, you're matir the nether because you realize it was a mistaken premise. He says, you know what? The tachlis of that process was something even greater than the nether. For you to recognize your reality. For you to come to the humility of, I thought I was holding by this, really I'm holding in a lower place. Okay? Very, very sharp vart. But the sugya of Nazir, it really deserves a lot of elaboration. But right now I'll just say a point that Rav Dessler says, and perhaps we'll elaborate on this more tomorrow. It deserves elaboration. I'll briefly say what Rav Dessler says about this. He says that the sugyas that praise the Nazir and the sugyas that condemn the Nazir are reflecting different stages of Avodas Hashem, different necessities of Avodas Hashem. He said, ultimately, the real madrig is to be in a place where you are capable of enjoying the pleasures of Olam Hazeh in a way that brings you closer to Hashem, in a way that enhances your Yiddishkeit. And we've spoken about that plenty, so I don't really have to illustrate exactly what I mean. But he said, let's say I have a person who says, okay, the ultimate madrig is not to abstain from steak, but it's to eat the steak and really feel Hashem's love and let it draw me closer to Hashem. So therefore, this person decides that's the area that I'm going to excel in. I am going to enjoy Gashmius L'Shem Shamayim. What? Behidr, that's right. I'm going to get to the best foods, the best times, and really feel Hashem's love. And then you know what happens? He'll also feel Hashem's love when the Heksher is a little compromised, because again, this is Avas Hashem that overrides, you know, if you can have a cruise that has the top gourmet stuff, we're talking Avas Hashem, you're going to start talking to me about the Diktukim of Kashrus and Ashkochas. Avdesli says, all that is only real after you trained yourself thoroughly to tell yourself no. After you, until then, all your Avas Hashem might simply be a lack of control. I can't control myself. I call it Avas Hashem, right? And there might also be an element of it also. This is a process here. You go through the process of training yourself to tell yourself no, of learning how to say, you know what? There's something really good now, but I'm going to abstain because I need to exercise my spiritual muscles. If after you have gained that exercise and you know how you're capable of telling yourself no when you need to, then you decide, now I am going to dip into a certain hanah, taka, in order to experience Hashem's love for me. But when I need to, I'm able to tell myself no. It might even be the rule. But I can consciously decide, now I'm dipping into hanah L'Shem Shamayim. That's the true process. You go through the process of learning to tell yourself no, then you can tell yourself yes L'Shem Shamayim. So there's two stages here. There's a stage where a person is told be a Nazir. And then you should get to a stage where he's told, now don't be a Nazir. That's very brief. It deserves more elaboration. Bli Neder, we'll see if I'll elaborate on this a bit more tomorrow. Bli Neder. Okay.